Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, April 22nd, Medical Monday. I'm Alan Chartok. Support for the program comes from Saratoga OBGYN at Myrtle Street and the new physician midwife pregnancy care model at Saratoga Hospital. SaratogaHospital.org for more information. Joining us this afternoon to answer your podiatric questions is a great favorite here. The phones are always loaded. Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Dr. Tooman is a very popular guest, as I say, and we can get plenty of calls in while he's with us, so be sure to get your questions in early. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. I said 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Tooman, your call's all coming up on the Vox Pop right after this news. Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok in the studio, and we are very lucky to have him, as we always are. This afternoon to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry in the Kingston area for more than 30 years. He's a graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine, a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. He's also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. He's also an avid marathon runner. Dr. Tooman, welcome back to the Vox Pop, everybody. 1-800-348-2551. This is always popular. You got a question, you got a bunion, you got whatever you got, but do it now. 1-800-348-2551. Doug, I just wanted to say I am so impressed with your new book, Ask the Foot Doctor. It's a magnificent piece of work, very attractive. It answers all the questions, and we're so glad you have it now.
Well, thank you so much. And I was mentioning to you just before, the title of the book is from this show, Ask the Foot Doctor. People calling in with questions. People sure. always have questions about their feet. And most importantly, I just want to have a important shout out to you because you are mentioned in the book as a thank you. And it's be so much because of this show and the format. It really inspired me. You have inspired me to take this to a next level. And I wrote the book, Ask the Foot Doctor.
Well, it's great. Ask the Foot Doctor by Dr. Doug Tooman, T-U-M-E-N, in case you're looking for it and you want to go on the Google and get it or go to Amazon or any of those places, Ask the Foot Doctor. Okay, so Doug, we'll be taking questions now. I let me start it off because I don't see anybody on the line yet. And I've been wondering where Jim from Matamoros is. Oh, there are two. Well, oh, there they are, but not on here, over there. So maybe we'll handle that. Okay, let's go to, there he is, Jim in Matamoros. Okay, welcome back, Jim. Ask your question.
Are there other causes of Achilles tendon rupture other than trauma?
Other causes, yes, they can be for sure. One particular complication can be actually from an antibiotic. There are antibiotics that cause tendinopathy and cause Achilles tendon ruptures, which is interesting. And there can be other things like, for example, atrophy and weakness of the body that can make it rupture. So it's not always trauma, and it's actually not even usually trauma. It's usually an accelerated force, like jumping up in a basketball game or backpedaling in a football game as the quarterback. They just happen suddenly, and it's usually a non-impact event.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, now we're off to to line two and 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and we'll go to Timothy. Okay, welcome, Timothy.
Hello. I work in construction, and I'm on my feet all day. About 3 years ago, I stepped on a nail. It punctured my boot and my foot. I had recently had a tetanus shot, and the wound healed okay, so I never sought medical treatment at the time. But now I have a very hard, I'm guessing, scar tissue, like a knot on the ball of my foot, quite painful. I'm wondering if I see a podiatrist, if there's something that can be done about it.
Well, good question, Tim. And you did the right thing by getting a tetanus shot and getting that checked out right away, especially in contracting. You never know where those nails have been and what they contain as far as bacteria. As far as your foot, it's not unusual to end up with scarring or a lesion in the ball of the foot where the foreign entry was, in this case, the nail. So your body reacts to that. It doesn't know what's invading your foot. So it actually creates a wall, a foreign body reaction, and that prevents things from getting further into your foot. But that foreign body reaction actually is, as you mentioned, Tim, scar tissue, and it can be very painful as it develops a bunch of scar tissue, especially around nerve endings or sensitive structures. So, yes, if you came into an office, a podiatrist, there are different things that can be done, possibly injection therapy, excising the scar, removing it, and it's certainly worthwhile because leaving it as is after 3 years, you can end up with the same thing. So I would definitely get that looked at and see if it can be removed, that scar tissue.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, and now on to Joe in Menands. Joe in Menands, you're on.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
Water, doesn't matter.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on the radio. Don't say anything dirty. Joe, are you there? Okay. Goodbye, Joe. So long, Joe. Gotta go.
Joe's gotta go.
Joe, you there? No, he's not.
No, Joe.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Heather. Heather, your turn. Hello, Heather. Now they got a green. I don't know what that means. All right, let's try that again.
Wait 1 second, he said. Oh, line one. Go to line one.
Okay, line one. We'll go to Peter. Peter, you're on.
Now they got a green.
Hey, Peter.
Wait 1 second, he said. Or line one. Go to line one.
Well, okay. No, Peter.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you, but just vaguely. I don't know why. You're doing something wrong. Oh, yeah, turn your radio down.
Yeah, we can hear you, but just
turn your radio down.
I don't either. I don't either. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, but you got to turn your radio down. Is it down?
It's down.
Okay, now go ahead and talk.
Okay, well, my problem is that I have what might be, I don't know, a nerve thing or something, I don't know. But I have a lot of pain on the at nighttime on the top of my toes, of my little toes on the right side and on the side of the left foot, on the surface of the skin. It's really painful and prevents me from sleeping. And it's been going on for quite a while.
Okay. May I ask your age?
78.
78. And your name was Pete? Was that correct?
Yeah.
Pete,
79
okay.
Almost.
All right. Are you diabetic by chance?
No.
No, that's good. And when you walk during the day, do you get any pains in your calf? Do you have to stop and rest at all? Okay, great.
I have pain in my right hip, but
that's different.
I had my hip replaced a few years ago.
All right. So I'm just ruling out some things, for example, like peripheral vascular disease, which can cause some night discomfort. But it sounds to me like there are some nerve issues affecting your foot because it's happening at nighttime and off weight bearing and in certain areas on your toes. So that's something that can be called neuritis or neuropathy. Hard to know what's causing that, but that's something you may want to get looked at. You know, you can come into a podiatry office. You can speak to your general practitioner, a neurologist. But if it's only at nighttime and there's no swelling, redness, or anything like that, it's to do with some nerve endings that could be under compression either up the chain or, for example, even in your hip, or it could be related to some foot issues, some past trauma, or who knows. But that's something probably not dangerous as long as it's not bothering you during the daytime, but you may want to get it looked at. But you might want to try putting some over-the-counter lidocaine on it before bedtime to ease some of that discomfort. That might help a little bit.
Yeah, I've actually done that. I do have one red circle, like the size of a very large strawberry, on the top of my foot on the right side. It's been there for a long time, 4 years, 5 years or so, and a dermatologist called it the id.
Yeah, it could be some ringworm, you know, so keep using antifungals on it and see if it doesn't go away. But it's been there a while. It may stick around. It's not harmful, but try some over-the-counter antifungals or get to a podiatrist and see what they can do.
Okay.
Thanks, Pete. Good luck.
All right.
We have a lot of people on the line. We're going to go to them in a second. We're going to take a short break right now. And we are back, thanks to Zach the engineer, who's done his usual magic. Okay, so we're going to go to talk to Heather in Lenox. All right, Heather, your turn. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have a question about plantar fasciitis, and I don't have it, but every once in a while I have a tightening in my foot, and I'm wondering if I'm sort of traveling the path towards plantar fasciitis, and I'm just wondering if there's anything that you can do to prevent it.
Sure. Well, first, Heather, let me just say you're one of the few lucky ones that don't have plantar fasciitis because it seems epidemic out there. And you never know. More than likely, you're not heading down that road. But let me explain what plantar fasciitis is for the listeners. Plantar fasciitis is usually pain near the heel area. It's usually consistent with getting out of bed in the morning or after you sit and rest and get back up or off the couch at night. It hurts. It may hurt with walking, and it may become swollen around the heel. And it's caused by a very tight ligament that attaches to the hair bone, to the heel bone. I was thinking about the hair in your head, which I often use as an analogy. If the hair in your head is attached to your scalp, it doesn't hurt. But if somebody pulls on it, it hurts. And that's what the plantar fascia does to the heel bone. It pulls on it and creates a little bit of discomfort and swelling around the area. Best things to do to prevent plantar fasciitis are stretching. Stretching against the wall, the hurdler stretch with your knees straight for 30 seconds up to 2 minutes, believe it or not, standing off the edge of a stair, massaging your feet, wearing shoes in the house. Those are good strategies to prevent full-blown painful plantar fasciitis.
Thanks, Heather. We got so many people behind you that I got to keep moving. Thank you very much. Okay, and now on to Joe Makowitz. What are we on to? What number? Number five. All right, number five. Here we go. Suanne in Goshen, you're on.
Hi. I, too, have plantar fasciitis, but also I have full-blown plantar fasciitis. And I just wanted to know if there was anything I could do more than massaging it with a hard ball, using some topical cream that the podiatrist gave me. Is there any way of, and supposedly it lasts for months.
And he just told you, Suanne, he just told you, Dr. Tooman did, about the exercise.
Yeah, and more things to do, Suanne. So certainly there's many parts to plantar fasciitis, and we treat it aggressively in our offices, and it's very important not to let it linger because it can last for a year or two, or in some cases forever, but it's not necessary. So really getting a good evaluation, for example, in our office, we'll do ultrasound evaluation in addition to an x-ray to determine how inflamed it is. So the stretching and the things you're doing at home are great. We'll use things like corticosteroid injections. We'll use night splints. We'll use orthotic therapy. We'll do something called radial pulse therapy, shockwave treatments. So immobilization on occasion, anti-inflammatories, topically oral or injectable. But there are so many things we have to look at to determine what's causing yours and why it's not going away. So don't struggle at home alone. Go back or get another opinion and find someone that can help you get rid of it because you don't have to suffer. There are things that are definitive even outside of surgery. Surgical treatments.
Thank you, Suanne. Okay, and now on to Karen in Stafford, Connecticut. All right, Karen, your turn. Welcome.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can, perfectly.
Okay, I'm going on year number three. I started out with a bump on the top of my foot, and it was swollen, and it progressed to the point over the, it has kept getting swollen and swollen and swollen, and I have lost my arch. I have been to approximately 9 doctors, podiatrists, orthopedic people, UConn Medical Center, saw a professor, and all they can tell me is that my bone is deteriorating in my foot. And okay, so after all that, I just left it alone. But now it just keeps getting worse. And I just wonder is what would be my next step?
Karen, can I ask your age? May I?
67.
Are you diabetic?
No.
No. Okay, great.
My other foot is perfectly fine.
All right. So things happen and you have what unfortunately is a collapsing fallen arch. Are you in pain? Let me ask you that question. That's important.
24/7.
24/7. Okay. So has anybody offered to fix your foot?
No.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you need to have your foot fixed. Of course, you've been to many doctors, but if you've had a collapsed foot and you're in 24/7 pain, it sounds like your joints have, and again, I have not seen your foot and I haven't seen your x-rays.
Oh, I have arthritis.
Yeah, it sounds like you've developed arthritic changes, and there are things called fusions that can fix it and realign it and put it into a stable position, something called an arthrodesis of the rear foot and taking off bone spurs and putting things back into alignment. So advanced reconstructive procedures with a good foot surgeon can be performed. We salvage many patients whose feet are extremely painful, and they've been like that for years, and you sound like you're in that category. 24/7 pain is not fun. I feel for you. So please don't stop.
Well,
because
I'm
somebody...
a very active person. I'm a gardener, and it has slowed my life down immensely to the point where my knee is getting thrown out, my back, because I'm limping.
Sure. No, and this is a challenge. You know, without a good foot, you can't go too far in life. So please don't give up. Find another person, a surgeon that can look at you, a foot surgeon, whether it be a podiatric surgeon, you know, somebody at Yale is very, you're in Connecticut, or visit us or somebody. But please don't give up, because your foot can be helped.
Thank you, Karen. All right. And now on to Joe in Menands. Joe in Menands, your turn.
Thank you for taking my call. This is Joe, and I had a question for the doctor if he could help me identify a problem that I'm having with my toe. So on my left foot, I should mention I'm an athlete also, and do a lot of riding. I'm a cyclist and I race. I'm very competitive. So on my left foot, on the second to the last toe of the small toe, I have, like, on the side, it feels like a little bit of dead skin, but it's very sensitive, and I can feel pain in it. It bothers me more times than others, usually when I'm active, or, like, if it's been, like, wet out or something like that, or sweating or putting in a lot of effort. But also there's another weird thing. I don't know if it's connected, but it almost feels like there's a little tiny rope going from the heel to that toe that I when I stand on the floor barefoot or whatever, and I rock my foot left to right, it feels like I can feel something in there that feels like a rope that I'm balancing on.
All right, well, let's deal with your toe problem first. As a cyclist, congratulations on being a competitive cyclist. How old are you, Steve?
I'm 50 years old.
Awesome.
I put
awesome,
in about
awesome.
10,000 miles a year on the bike.
Well, a lot of people who
base training and all that.
I think that's fantastic. Keep it up as long as you can, as many decades as you can. People wear bike shoes. They're often a little bit snug. What happens between the toes, you get a small bone spur interdigitally between that fourth and fifth toe, and that little small bone spur can be extraordinarily painful. And it sounds like that's what you have there. As far as getting it treated, it can be simply shaved down, removed, and it could be gone forever. So please get it looked at to see if there's a simple fix for that. And again, it's a very rewarding, simple fix. It's just a little shaving of a bone spur. The other problem, I'm not so sure, but we can talk another time about that. We've got a lot of callers in the line, but take care of that little toe. It'll give you a lot of relief.
Thank you, Joe. All right, and now on to Hope in Clinford. All right, Hope in Clinford. Go ahead.
Hope in Glenford.
Glenford, oh. Well, we're prisoner of the people who write down this information. They send it to us, and then that's what it looked like. Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I have to have hip surgery, but my big problem is arthritis on top of both feet, which is very painful, probably aggravated by the hip. I have tried cortisone shots, and I have tried the gel, anti-inflammatory gel, and they don't do anything. So what can I do?
Well, hope is a challenge. You know, arthritis is destruction of joint spaces, and on top of the foot is not an uncommon place. We do a lot of cortisone injections to relieve pain, but it doesn't work for everybody, and I already have hip arthritis. So you're not far in Glenford from one of our offices in Kingston. It's something that needs to be looked at, and maybe after you get your hip fixed, you may need a joint or two fused so you can eliminate that pain. Certainly, sometimes supportive shoes or orthotic therapy, topical medications, but it sounds like you've tried a lot of things. You may be on to the next, but it's a challenge. Top of the foot pain, you can't wear a shoe so well. I feel for you, and please come on in and get it looked at.
Thanks, Hope. All right, and we can go to now to Carol in the car. Carol in the car, you're on.
Hello, 60-year-old. I have wide feet, a high instep, have been diagnosed years ago with bilateral Morton's neuroma, and also have some bursitis in my feet. Now, I have pretty much constant pain that's fairly manageable, and I've been wearing orthotics for a long time. I've gone through the whole cortisone thing. I have the creams. I'm wondering, have they gotten any further with treatment for Morton's neuroma? And also, I went for a second opinion, and the surgeon, not the podiatrist, said that he didn't see a Morton's neuroma if it's there, it's very small. But the podiatrist does the Morton's click, and he says, oh, no, you have a Morton's neuroma.
So, yes, Carol, I'm great. Great questions. And just so you know, for everybody out there who doesn't know what a Morton's neuroma is, it's an enlarged pinched nerve between the toes and the ball of the foot in the third and fourth or second and third spaces. Nerves are a soft tissue that, when aggravated, especially in a foot like yours, can become thickened, fibrosed, and chronically painful. And you've done a lot of things to try to manage and minimize your pain, which is great. Sometimes it doesn't always work. But we do great stuff with neuromas on a permanent basis. So truly, if you have a neuroma, which is not seen radiographically, ultrasounds are a little challenging, but can be done. MRI is a little bit challenging, but you can see them. But bottom line is, if a nerve is painful, it's painful. So two things we do outside of what you've had done. One is called a neurectomy. We actually take the small, deformed piece of scarred nerve out. It does not affect walking, mobility, gets rid of the pain. And we do one other procedure, which is called cryosurgery, where we don't take anything out, but we freeze the nerve. We've been doing that for a good many years as well. So between those two treatments, there is permanent relief for you, Carol. So please don't give up, as we say.
Thanks.
Well, and if you get the bursitis taken care of, does it come back again easily?
No. If you get the neuroma taken care of, if you have a neuroma, it's gone. You have other foot issues, as you said, with a high instep, and you certainly need to continue wearing orthotics and comfortable shoes, but you should be able to control that.
Thank you, Carol. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. So, Dr. Doug Tooman, in your new book, Ask the Foot Doctor, do you give a little biography of who Morton was? As in Morton's neuroma?
It was not from Morton Salt, but a Dr. Morton from years ago.
Okay, and, very, very good.
Yes.
Very good, yes. Okay, absolutely. You want to call? Now's the time to call. 1-800-348-2551. And now we're going to, hey, Joe, we're going to number 8, right? Okay, number 8, Tara in Gilson. Tara, you there?
Hello. Good, how's it going, Dr. Shartok, proud member?
Good.
I'm going to be very layman terms here. I'm 40 years old. Many years ago, I broke my pinky toe, like, mm-hmm. Just my pinky toe, right where the toe itself. Now, 3 years ago, I actually just slipped off a step and broke my pinky toe, but it was to the middle of my foot. While I was going through x-rays for that, the doctor said, oh, I see you had a break in your top of your pinky toe. I said, yes. Now, it gives me so much trouble. I end up taping it most of the time to my ring toe. Pinky and ring toe together.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm 40. I'm a mother. I'm an avid walker, hiker. Feet are so important. I think feet are some of the most important parts of your body. So what else can I do besides just keeping them taped? I mean, what do you recommend? It's the actual pinky toe that extends from my foot itself that gives me so much pain, and it really limits my walking.
Right. So is this just your toe, or is it behind your toe in the metatarsal area, in the middle of your foot, or is it by the toe?
Area, where the toe pain comes through is like right where the joint meets the foot.
Got
and it.
It
goes extends to the second joint of the pinky toe.
Got
so
it.
I tape it to the ring.
So here's the story. You sound wonderful, and I want you to have years of 60 more years of walking and having fun out there. And it sounds like your x-ray never healed, your foot never healed, x-ray is evidenced by the recent x-ray you took. So sometimes after a break, there's actually a chapter in the book, Ask the Foot Doctor, about broken toes and how people take them too lightly, and this is a classic example of that. So at this point, for you, there may be some post-traumatic arthritis and an abnormal joint that's causing pain and a bone spur. That's fixable.
Diagnosed with arthritis in my feet and through all my hereditary.
In that particular toe, it's fixable as well. We do little procedures called arthroplasties, which takes away the former broken piece that never healed properly. So it's definitely something, Tara, that you should look into. You can continue taping. That's smart, wearing wide shoes, comfortable shoes. There's a brand out there called Altra, A-L-T-R-A, that's really wide in the forefoot that makes it comfortable for sneakers. But certainly it's fixable and should get looked at again by a good podiatrist who does some surgery on.
Can I throw one more quick question in?
Alan, can't you do
it?
Yeah,
make it quick.
You called him Dr. Shartok, so he said yes.
Real quick. My foot grew half a size after while I was pregnant with my daughter. Is that normal?
Yes, because it happens to most.
I went from 8 to 9.
Yeah, it happens to many women. It happens to people throughout life, but especially pregnant women, because as that baby tries to fit out the birth canal, it's not really wide enough, so your body in the last little bit of pregnancy puts out hormones to loosen ligaments, and with the weight gain and the hormones in your body, with the stress in the feet, it actually lengthens feet for lots of women. So widens them and lengthens
thank
them.
You.
So absolutely true.
Lara, thank you for the great call. All right, on to, on to Steve in Dansburg. Steve, are you there?
Yes, hello. I'm 60 years old, both a runner and a construction worker. So I spend my days in a heavy boot with heavy shanks and steel toes. About 3 years ago, I started developing inflammation underneath the ball of my toes, like the second and third toe in there. And went and have gone through multiple orthotics, custom orthotics, some creams. And at one point, I went to orthopedics, and they suggested that if these other things didn't work, possibly would have to have the bones shortened in my foot.
Okay, so... So let me just go over some stuff. Everybody's feet are formed differently. There's 26 bones in the feet, and your pain is under the metatarsal heads, the second and third metatarsals. And, of course, you've put in many miles on hard surfaces, on roofs, ladders as a contractor, and whatever else. And your feet are filling the mileage from running and from contracting. So you've done everything you can. And you need to continue to do everything you can in inserts and protection, just like you're doing. And, yeah, sometimes bones need to be adjusted, so to speak, not chiropractically but surgically, and elevated or shortened so they're not getting the pressure on the ball of your foot. Don't take that lightly. It's a big thing to do, especially for a contractor. The results should be good, but get a couple of opinions and make sure your orthotics are doing what they should do. And if you're going to have surgery, go to a couple of people that are skilled in foot surgery and get two or three different opinions on that, Steve, because you want to be able to keep running. As a runner myself, I want to make sure you do everything you can conservatively before you undergo surgery. So please take that into mind.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, so now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go a little early now so that when we come back, we'll have lots of time and we'll start with Nancy from Stockbridge. But first, just a little breaklet. Okay, and as promised, we're back, and as promised, on to Nancy in Stockbridge. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I have 61-year-old feet. I use them daily. I'm a teacher, which means I stand up a lot, and I am an avid bike rider. And I have no problem with riding my bike, but when I walk, the middle part of my foot hurts, the outside edge. After I go for a 3-mile walk or something, it hurts. One other thing is that when I wear shoes that are poorly fitting, I get headaches. And I wondered if you had heard about that before.
Well, some good questions, Nancy. This is a good group today, huh? We get everybody about the same age, all active and running, walking, and biking. So with your feet, pain on the outside, and the shoes that cause headaches, two different issues. You know, certainly the way that you walk is causing the pain on your outside of your foot because it doesn't happen other times. Hopefully, you next 5 years or so, you're going to have retirement and lots more comfortable walking without staying on hard floors. You have to look at the shoes you're wearing for walking, and make sure they're wide enough and make sure that they have plenty of thickness in the bottom. Make sure you're in the running shoe category, even though you're walking, and maybe trash your old shoes and get a brand new pair so you have them. Headaches and feet, you know, it's interesting. Feet can cause neck pain, head pain. It sounds like you may be doing something with your feet that's triggering muscle ache spasms or some nerve-related pain. So might be something to get looked at by a podiatrist to see if a pair of orthotics may help you walk in a better fashion with less rolling and more straight ahead and protection and shock absorption. So look at that shock absorption part, Nancy. Best of luck.
Best of luck, Nancy. Okay, so now we're going to go to, to Susan in Ankrumdale. I know Ankrumdale well. How you doing, Susan?
I'm doing pretty good. Okay, I'll try and make this quick. I'm a 69-year-old female. It started on my right, underneath my right foot. It feels like there's maybe like a cotton, like something underneath the skin. It actually gets swollen. I went to a podiatrist. It went from my toes all the way back on my right foot, and then it went from my toes all the way back on my left foot. I have to wear shoes that have like super soft bottoms, like Skechers, like super squishy, or I can't go anyplace. I have orthotics. I have been to a podiatrist. He said he couldn't do anything at all. Just deal with it, is what he told me.
Well, unfortunately, there are some times that we have to do that, but I would always get a second and third opinion, maybe even a fourth opinion before you have to deal with pain the rest of your life. It sounds like you could have some neuromas inside of your forefoot based on that swelling and that cotton feeling in the ball of your foot. That's typically what nerve-related sensations feel like. You may be able to find someone that looks past the x-rays and past your feet and see maybe about a MRI to see if you have neuromas in there or anything else that's going on. You may even need to see a neurologist to see if it's anything related to your back if the numbness is significant. But I would just get another opinion or two and see if you don't have these things called neuromas affecting your feet.
Thank you, Susan. Let's see, doctor, how can people get in touch with you? Is there a number?
It's simple. Our office, site is, online at hvfa.com, and about the book, you can simply go to askthefootdoctor.com.
Okay, great, great, great. Okay. Now we have a number of, things that have come in because all of the lines have been busy. So we'll get rid of these real fast because they're easy to do they're just easy to do. Bonnie says, my husband has a painful hard lump on his left foot with swelling at the ankle. It's preventing him from walking without limping. An orthopedist has told him, nothing can be done other than physical therapy. Is there something more than PT?
There always is something more than PT, and it depends where the hard lump is. It's really hard to know where that lump is. If it's on the bottom of his foot, it could be one of the metatarsals. It could be a fibroma. Really need more information. I'm so sorry I can't get more information for you.
And Christine says, gentlemen, love the show always. I have tingling in my toes. I've been to neurologist, primary podiatrist who x-rayed my feet and found some arthritis. Now with an orthopedist and going to PT. Any other thoughts about cause? Anything else I can do? I'm learning to live with this. Christine in Water Elite.
Yeah, Christine, if you have tingling in your feet, it's always nerve-related. There could be some arthritic underlying causes, but it also could be a nerve-related impingement coming from the ankle called tarsal tunnel. It could come from the forefoot called neuromas. There's different places. So, again, it's not going to be seen on x-rays except for the arthritis. You need another evaluation.
And Jill in Highland Falls writes, dear doctor, I'm an avid walker and hiker. On some days, this can mean a 5 to 7 mile walk. Last summer, I began to suffer from metatarsalgia. I have changed my hiking shoes and socks, but it persists. What can I do to alleviate this condition?
Good question. You're doing some things. Kudos on the 5 to 7 mile hikes. Make sure your boots or hiking boots or sneakers, whatever you're wearing, are thick-soled and stiff. They shouldn't be overly flexible because it's going to bend on that. I'd be really careful going on the downhills. The uphills aren't so bad, but if you're doing on flats, make sure you have excellent cushioning in there and see a podiatrist to see about better orthotics for more protection.
Okay, and on to the phones. Back to the phones. Let's go to Michael in Cohoes. Michael in Cohoes, you're on.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Doctor?
Yes, we're here.
Doctor, 66. I like walking and playing golf. Recent visit, last year I got my first x-ray on my the joint where the big toe meets the foot. I was told that I have like calcification or bone spurs, and we'll make some orthotics, and they're working, except that I had a little bit of gout about 2 months ago, and that's been relieved. But I was told that if the spurs don't go, get worse, that the only way to get rid of them is to scrape them down. And I talked to other people, and they said, well, that surgery is a lot of downtime on that. And I'm kind of surprised that there isn't, like, image-guided, like, laser to break up those spurs in this day and age?
Well, good question, Michael, and who knows what the future holds, but there are no lasers that break up any bone. It breaks up soft tissue and does other things in various areas of the body. However, when you have bone spurs, we don't really scrape them. We just remove them. We get rid of all that. If there's arthritis, we can help that and fix that too. Yes, sometimes you have to have a couple of few weeks downtime, but with things like that, it's not that bad, and it can relieve you for, you're only 66, I believe you said, so you got about 34 years of playing golf, and you may want to take some time out to get it fixed. But
so the surgery and recovery were overblown.
I think so. Again, I haven't seen your x-rays, but it depends. There's different surgeries. Quickly, we can do bone spur removal, which is very easy. It's just like cleaning out a knee fragments. That's a pretty easy one to heal from. Then there's other things where if the arthritis is really advanced, you do what's called a fusion, and that takes a little bit longer to heal, of course, because you're getting two bones together. But that's a permanent cure, and once you do it, you're never going to have an issue again. So
very sure good. Well, I'm glad to hear all that. So far, the orthotics are working, but if it gets worse, I will hesitate and have the operation.
Thank you, Michael. All right, and now on to Joan in Enfield, Connecticut. All right, Joan, go.
Yes, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
I'm an 80-year-old woman and very active. I jog. I climb at the climbing gym. I cross-country ski. I garden. And I've had some foot pain that has been getting worse over the last year. And I've seen a podiatrist and an orthopedic surgeon. And the orthopedic surgeon is recommending three things for my foot. First, tarsal-metatarsal joint fusion with calcareal bone graft. Second one is second and third metatarsal real osteotomy. And the third one looks like AHIMETT, osteotomy of the second and third toe proximal phalanges. Right. I'm wondering if you're familiar with any of those and what the outcomes that you're familiar with. I'm anxious to continue doing the things that I do.
Well, Joan, first of all, I think you should have your own YouTube channel, and everybody 60, 70, and 80 needs to follow you for everything that you're doing. And if you're doing all these things, I'm not so sure you need foot surgery. You really need to think about it. Yes, I'm familiar with all of those things. And
wrote the book.
Yes, exactly. So the tarsal metatarsal joint fusions is a big operation. It's not to be undertaken lightly unless it's just the first metatarsal. But if it's more than one, it's significant. There is significant downtime for you. And the other procedures with the toe fusions, those are commonly done, readily easy to heal from, and so is the other procedure. The one that concerns me is the tarsal metatarsal fusion. I don't know how many they're planning on doing. If it's just one,
I think it's just the first.
Okay, and that's fine. So you're doing a first ray fusion called Lapidus procedure, and then you're doing some fusions of the toes and fixing that. If that's getting in the way of your ability to do the things you want to do and you can't do them anymore, then you should consider surgery. If you can still do them and be happy and smiling and an influencer for others to follow, then do you really need the surgery? It's something only you know for sure.
Thank you, Joan. Okay, now on to Richard in Kingston. Richard in Kingston, your turn. We're going fast now because we're coming to the end. Go ahead, Richard.
Hi there. Okay, thanks for taking the call. I have what feel like when I stand on my feet, right next to the ball of both feet, one worse than the other. When I'm standing on them, it feels like there's a lump there, which cants my foot, both feet to the outside, which is uncomfortable. If I run my fingers or hands along the bottom of my foot, nothing seems apparent. So I was curious if that's something that's typical or least how to go about looking right. at that.
Well, the best I can, Richard, the best I can tell is that your metatarsal is dropping when you stand on it, and that's the lump that you're feeling. You have five metatarsals in the ball of your foot. If there's a lump that's canting it to the outside, chances are that's becoming prominent on the bottom of your foot called the drop metatarsal, and maybe that can be helped with orthotic inserts or other things. So you're close by. Get it looked at, and we'll see if we can help you.
Thanks a lot. But now we're going to go to Angela in the Berkshires. Okay, Angela, you're on.
Hi. I'm actually calling for a family member. They have psoriatic arthritis really bad, which we learned went undiagnosed for like 30 years. And they're having a lot of feet issues. And one of them would be that the bone, where the bones come together right at the very top of the foot, almost gets to looking like it's so inflamed, it looks like a peak, like they have a pyramid there.
Sure.
And because of the psoriatic arthritis affecting the, you know, the tendons and ligaments, I've watched their big toe, like they're in pain screaming, yes, but it's twisting and pulling underneath. Yes.
So
my question is, I mean, they obviously see a rheumatologist,
right,
they see, you know, all these things, an osteopath even. Is there any point for them to see a podiatrist?
Yes, there is. You know, just to be brief, because we're up against the wall time-wise, psoriasis can lead in some cases to arthritis called psoriatic arthritis, and it can be treated like other forms of arthritis, whether it's non-steroidal, steroidals, injection therapy, cortisones, topicals, or even surgical corrections. There are things you can do to prevent or limit the pain, and it's something that should be looked at, and podiatrists can do that and do that on a daily basis.
It is psoriatic arthritis.
Yes.
It's full-blown.
Okay,
and,
we got that, Angela. Sorry to give you the rush. We're trying to get everybody in. Thank you.
Sorry,
okay,
Angela.
Let's go to Debbie in New York. Okay, Debbie in New York, you're on.
Hi, how are you? Quick question. My uncle, my husband shattered his talus bone about 2 years ago. He has severe arthritis, and the doctors keep telling us, and you know, there's a lot of hardware in there as well, some mm-hmm. screws and stuff, and they said, keep doing physical therapy. Physical therapy helps a little, but he's in constant pain every day. Do you have any suggestions of something else we can do or who we should see?
It's a tough one. The talus bone is the bone that connects the foot to the ankle, and it probably is developing arthritis. How old is your hubby or uncle? Or
40.
Hubby? 40. And he's probably active, and this is really challenging. He may need some surgery. It could be in the form of an arthroscopic procedure. Ultimately, it's a challenge, you know, from the shattered talus, and mm-hmm. it's something that it's going to need to be looked at by some really good people to help him.
So what sort of doctor should we go see?
A good podiatric surgeon or a good orthopedic surgeon, but they need to be only specializing in foot and ankle surgery.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Debbie. All right, and now on to Richard in Scotia. Richard in Scotia.
Hi, doctor. I'm an 83-year-old man who sprained his ankle when he was about 20 years old, re-sprained it many times, and been very active, still playing tennis. I have a lot of pain. I wrap it. But I have a lot of pain playing tennis or trying to hike, and I'm wondering if there's anything can be done.
Great question. I'm glad you're still playing tennis. You should be wearing an ankle brace when you play. You probably do. You probably could get it x-rayed and see if there's a large bone spur or a fragment that's in the ankle joint that can be readily removed arthroscopically. You can see if the lateral ankle ligaments on the outside of your ankle can be repaired to some degree, but it's not something that can't be helped, and you should definitely look into it, and bracing or treatment or therapy can be helpful.
Thank you, Richard. And then on to the last call we're going to answer today, Allison in Albany. Allison in Albany, you're on.
Hi. So I know you guys have been getting a lot of questions about bone spurs today, but I am 25 years old. I'm very active. I do a lot of hiking, ride horses a lot in the summer, do a lot of just physical activities. And I have a pretty good sized bone spur on my heel that causes me significant pain. What
back,
I'm wondering is
the
why,
back of your heel,
why,
Allison?
Yeah, right on the back.
The back portion. Okay, got it.
Yes. And why would I have developed it on just the one heel? And what can I do to keep that from getting any worse?
Well, you're a young person, which
surgery.
Is, yeah, no, you're a young person, which I knew was on the back. You're not going to feel a bone spur on the bottom of your heel, but on the back of the heel, it can be very prominent. So here's the thing. It came about because of either hereditary reasons or maybe some shoe gear when you were younger. So bottom line is, don't do anything except what you're doing until it becomes painful. You really can't control mm-hmm. it. It's going to be something that probably is going to stay the same size. But if it grows, it's easy to remove the bumps in the back of the heel. It's still time out from horse riding and fun stuff, but it can be removed and doesn't come back when it's removed. So, but best of luck to you.
Can
and it's
they get better on their own?
No, no, it's a bony bump. So it's there.
Yep.
So you okay. got it.
Thanks, Allison.
Best of luck, Allison.
Okay. We are just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to thank the wonderful Doug Tooman, Dr. Doug Tooman, whose new book is Ask the Foot Doctor. You can go right online and get it for yourself. And thanks to everybody who called. We didn't leave anybody on the line. That's always good. Thanks to Dr. Douglas Tooman again of Hudson Valley Foot Associates for joining us. Support for the Medical Monday comes from Retired Public Employees Association, working in the interest of nearly 500,000 retirees from New York State and local governments. You earn your retirement. RPEA protects it. RPEA.org. Thanks to engineer Zach Malloy. And thank you to Joe Makowitz, who's already fled the joint, for answering the phones today. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis, who helped us get the thing working again so we know who's on the line. I'm Alan Chartok. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned now for the Media Project.